What I wanted to talk about today in this particular shiur, in which we try to zoom out and sort of look at the halachic system from above. If you recall, last week we spoke of what happens when there's a gap between what I call Jewish observance as per the books versus Jewish observance in reality. How come in the books it says that you can use the same tablecloth for milchik and fleishik if you wash it, and yet we have separate tablecloths? This week, I want to zoom out and ask a very simple question. If you're limited in your time of learning Torah, what should you learn? We all know we all have big libraries. Baruch Hashem, books are being printed every day. It used to be Torah Sheba'al Peh, but we all know that today it's written down. What should we learn of this vast literature? What should we pick up if our time is limited? We can't learn it all. We don't have the time in order to encompass it all. What should be the preference? What has the right of way when it comes to learning Torah? That's the question we're going to deal with today. So you have here on the screen a Tanakh, a Talmud Bavli and Yerushalmi of the Schottenstein that many people learn. You have a Mishnah Berurah, you have a Rambam, you have a Mishnah. What should you learn of all these? And this is nothing compared to the vast literature we have in our libraries. What should be the preference? So in order to deal with this question, let us make an introduction. And the introduction I'd like to make is as follows. We all know that every morning we make two brachas. Or to be more precise, we make three brachas. Birkas HaTorah is comprised of three brachas. The bracha in the yellow is a very standard bracha, right, Bruce? You make it before you do almost any mitzvah. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu melech haolam, asher kidishanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu. God, you have commanded us to, and then you insert whatever mitzvah you're about to do. Tzitzis, tefillin, Chanukah candles, Mikra Megillah, eating matzah, shaking the lulav, etc., right? So one of the many mitzvot we do is, of course, learning Torah. So from this perspective, in the morning, we make a bracha that we're about to learn Torah today. On the other hand, we add two more brachas. And this is unique for Birkat HaTorah. We usually don't add brachos to Birkat HaMitzvah. When you make the bracha on tzitzis, that's it. When you make the bracha on eating matzah, that's it. But here you add two brachas daily. You add a bracha that starts with the words, Ve'ha'arev na Hashem Elokeinu et divrei Toratecha. Does anyone want to translate those words? Doesn't have to be literal. No, we said it this morning. What does it mean? Everyone just said the words? May the words of Torah be sweet. Arev. And then we say a beautiful bracha, Asher bachar banu mikol ha'amim, Venatan lanu et torato. You have chosen us from all the nations and given us the Torah. Incidentally, I find it an affront to Judaism that at the Kotel, in a so-called, I won't call it minyan, but a woman's gathering of tefillah, when they took out the Torah, they made a bracha, Asher bachar banu im kol ha'amim, with all the nations, as if we're no longer the chosen nation. I find it an affront to Judaism. Close parentheses, the bracha is Asher bachar banu mikol ha'amim. You have chosen us from all the nations to give us the Torah. Now, there's a big difference between the two sides of the screen. The first side of the screen is basically saying Torah is a commandment, and whether you like it or not, Tzvi, you have to learn it. It may not be convenient, it may not be that interesting, but you have to learn it. Rashi says, in a very famous Rashi in Masechet Rosh Hashanah, mitzvot lav lehenot nitnu. The mitzvot were not given to you for you to have benefit from it. Not spiritual benefit, but physical benefit. Namely, if you do a mitzvah, it's for its spiritual reasons. It's not for its physical reasons. So you may love matzah, you may love being constipated after the night of the Seder. This is what you look forward to every year. That is not the reason why you eat matzah, says Rashi, that the mitzvot were not given Lihiyot ki umam lahem lahana'a. Ela le'ol al tzavarehem nitnu. The mitzvot were given in order to be a yoke on your neck. Namely, it's a heavy load that we have to keep. And therefore, every time we talk about the mitzvot that we fulfill, we never say we fulfill mitzvot. What are the words we use? Kabbalat ol Torah u'mitzvot. You're accepting upon yourself the heavy load of Torah and mitzvot. So the same thing is true with regard to learning Torah. Namely, not everything is interesting. Not everything is convenient. Not everything spikes my imagination. But you have to learn it because it is a mitzvah. And whether you like it or not, you have to do this mitzvah. The Taz in Shulchan Aruch says, and I quote, "Shahatarai namit kayemet ela b'mishem imit atzmo aleha." You have to really almost die in order to learn Torah sometimes, because it's not convenient. The Hainu shel sek bepilpul u'masa u'matan shel Torah, kemo shekatav im bechukotai teleichu aminat shtiyu amilim b'Torah. So the first part of learning Torah is, we have to accept it as a yoke. But there's a second part of the Birkot HaTorah, that the Torah should be sweet, that the Torah is a beautiful benefit, because God chose us from all the nations to give us the Torah. So if that's the case, it's not just a yoke, it's not just a heavy load on our back, but rather, it is something that we should enjoy. As a matter of fact, this is not just a cushy idea that you sell people when they won't want you, when you want them to come closer to Judaism, but rather, this happens to be an idea that, quite frankly, Alex, is an idea that's halachic. I don't like to give ideas that are up in the luften. I don't like to give ideas that are up there in the sky. I always say there's a big difference between me and non-Orthodox rabbis. Everyone preaches. Everyone gives classes. But I hope that an Orthodox rabbi will buttress his ideas on the Parsha and his general theological assumptions in sources. So let's take a halachic source and base what I just said, that the Torah is also enjoyable. It's not just a yoke on your neck. So we mentioned the Vaharevna and the Birkas HaTorah. Let's see if there's a halacha that says it. And quite not surprising, there is. Everybody ready? Here comes the halacha. You're sitting down? Okay, here we go. If you go into shul on Rosh Hashanah, and you look at the shofar, and you say, that shofar, I can't stand looking at it. It's black, and black is not beautiful. I am making a neder and a shvua. This shofar is usher for me. Can you blow the shofar for the mitzvah of tkiyat shofar? Yes or no? Can you use that shofar to fulfill your mitzvah? Answer? Why are you looking at me? The answer is on the screen. Do you think I put these sources together for my own health? My health is terrible. Right there on the screen, Bruce, read it. Hamoder hana'ami shofar. If you say this shofar is usher to me, mutar litkabel the tkiyah shel mitzvah. However, if you go into your library at home and you pick up a book and the book says on it the name of the author, and you can't stand the author, he gypped you on selling you a car once upon a time, then the halacha is, and I quote, "Imasar sifro shel chavero, chavero, asur la ne'esar limod bo." So when it comes to doing the mitzvah of shofar, or matzah, if you say, this matzah is usher for me, you can still fulfill the mitzvah with it. But if you say a certain book is usher to me, you can't learn from it. Why is there a gap between the two? Explains the Taz. This is the same Taz that I remind you said that learning Torah is a yoke. You have to do it. You have to mimit atzmo aleha, etc. The Taz has to acknowledge there's another element of learning Torah, and that is to enjoy it, says the Taz. And I quote, "You're not allowed to learn from a book that you said is forbidden for me to read. Why? Devadaya Torah misamachat lev, because the Torah is there not just as a yoke, but it's supposed to be something enjoyable. And you can take benefit from learning Torah, unlike every other mitzvah. So when it comes to blowing shofar, there never was a benefit. And it never will be a benefit. You're just doing it for the mitzvah. But when it comes to learning Torah, it's also a mitzvah, number one. And number two, it's also enjoyable. So if you said, I don't want to get any joy, any benefit out of this book because I hate the author, you can't learn from that book. How do we know the Torah is misamachat halev? How do we know the Torah is something enjoyable, something that brings simcha to the person? Anyone want to give a proof? In general, in Judaism, anytime you want to bring a proof for simcha, you go to the opposite of simcha. What's the opposite of simcha? Anyone?
Mourning
with an U in the middle. Can a mourner with the U in the middle learn Torah? Pardon, Zvi?
Mourning without a U also.
So in the morning, if there's a mourner, he can't learn Torah. Because the Torah is Pekudei Hashem Yesharim Misamchei Lev. And he's now in mourning, he shouldn't be happy. From here we learn and we can derive that because a mourner can learn Torah, and on Tisha B'Av we can learn Torah, that in general, Torah is something that makes you happy. And therefore, when you're not supposed to be happy, you don't learn Torah. By corollary, if on Yontif you have to be happy, part of that happiness is learning Torah, not just eating meat and drinking wine. Correct? So from here we learn that learning Torah has these two elements. So when we come to this question, I'm limited in time. What should I learn? We have to take into consideration that there's going to be objective criteria of learning Torah if your time is limited. But you have to balance that out with the subjective criteria of what makes me happy. What does my heart desire? What would I like to learn within this big world of Torah? So if it was shofar blowing, I'd say, whatever the minimum of shofar blowing is, do and finish. Your time is limited, 30 kolos. But when it comes to Torah, we have to balance the yoke with the enjoyment, the objective with the subjective. With that introduction in mind, we can see what the poskim say on this issue. When your time is limited, what do you learn? Yes, Bruce. We'll get to it. We'll get to it. We'll get to it. Absolutely. We'll get to it. So, to make a long story short, we have to balance out the mitzvah of learning Torah with the Gemara that I just put on the screen. Ein adam lomei Torah, ela mimakom shelibo chafetz. A person doesn't learn except for something he wants to learn. Namely, whoever's on this shir, I'm assuming, wants to be here. And if it wasn't interesting, they wouldn't be here. That's part of learning Torah. It's not just like tefillin. Do it whether you like it or not. It has a second element of the ha'arevna with an ayin. It should be sweet. So based on that, let's see what the poskim say on this issue.
Your point is a hierarchy in learning, right? The Torah has a higher point of ayin, the something else.
Okay, can you repeat that? Who's talking?
Avi,
go right ahead, again.
You're implying that there's a hierarchy in learning, that there's a Torah gets X amount of points, Gemara gets X amount of points?
Exactly. Let's see. If your time is limited, what should you pick up of your vast library? Exactly. So, let's begin. Let's see. First of all, I want to be clear. There is two things that we have to do every week. And you have to remember these are objective obligations. But Zvi, you raised your hand. Go right ahead.
Yeah, just a small comment. If I'm not mistaken, the story is told, I think it was the Salanter. But I'm not sure, you probably don't know the story. When he was approached by a Talmud and asked, if I only have 10 minutes a day to learn, should I learn Musar or Gemara? And the answer was very clear. He said, learn Musar, then you'll know that you have more than 10 minutes.
There you go. So I have it here. If I can just move ahead here. So I'll show you where I have it. I have it here on the screen because it's a beautiful story and it should be told. And that is this story. And indeed, I heard it's a half an hour, not 10 minutes, but that's exactly the story. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter's suggestion was that if your time is limited, you should learn Musar. Because the minute you learn Musar, you'll find out your time is not as limited as you originally assumed. So there you go. You makdim et ha-meuchar. It was a few slides in, but that's suggestion number one.
Sorry for the impatience.
No, it's absolutely fine. I'm glad two minds think alike. Number two, we have an objective, again, an objective obligation to do two things a week. Number one, either throughout our life or throughout our day, we're supposed to divide our learning, Bruce, as the Rambam says, the middle path, into thirds. A third in Torah Shebichtav, the written Torah, a third in Torah Shebaalpeh, and a third to understand what we're learning. So not just the objective information from Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaalpeh, but to understand it, to understand what's behind it. So taking an example of many, Torah Shebichtav, you're supposed to learn that it says, Ukshartem lo'ot al yadecha, ve'hayu le'totafot bein einecha. You learn that Torah Shebaalpeh explains that that means tefillin, it has to be black, it has to have straps, etc. And then you're supposed to learn the reasons and everything that goes around it, the debates, etc. So that's objective number one. With regarding that, there is a big debate. Does it mean every day? Does it mean every week? Does it mean in the course of your entire life? Some people suggest that anytime you open Gemara, it's all in there because you got Psukim, you have Torah Shebichtav, Torah Shebaalpeh, Mishnayos, Braitas, and you have debate. So it's all in the Gemara. That's number one. Number two, we have an obligation every week to learn Shtayim Mikra Ve'Echad Targum. I quoted the Shulchan Aruch here from Simon Reish Pei Hei, and the Shulchan Aruch is very clear. This is not an option. This is an obligation. Read the Psukim of the Parsha twice and learn the Targum. It could be the Targum Onkelos, it can be Rashi, whatever it might be. As a matter of fact, there's a big debate. What happens when you have a Yontif that breaks up the Parshas, like we had this year? When does the time of Shtayim Mikra Ve'Echad Targum begin for Vizot HaBracha? We lay in it for a bunch of weeks on Shabbos afternoon, and then comes Sukkos. We eventually are going to lay it on Simchas Torah. When does the time begin? So the Prima Gadim here says it begins on Oshana Rabbah night, and the Mishnah Berurah says Simchas Torah night. But what do we learn from this? That there's no such thing as, I'll learn all the Parshas from the beginning of the year and then I'll never touch it again. Every week, there's a certain time when this obligation begins. It doesn't stam, come out there and you have to finish it all year. But rather, lechatchila, if we started to read Vayera at Mincha and Shabbos, that should be the time that theoretically you start this obligation. And you have to finish it by the time you're going to read it on Shabbos morning. So there's two objectives that are objective. Number one, to divide your learning 3-3-3. Number two, to go over the Parsha, Shtayim Mikra Ve'Echad Targum. Having said that, now we have a bit more time. What should we do? What should we put the emphasis on? Suggestion number one, you've already heard. Learn Musar, because then you'll find out you got more time. Cute suggestion. Suggestion number two. Everybody ready? Before Yom Kippur, the following came out. And I don't want to give any judgment on the person that said it. She's a tzadekes. She's an outreacher. She's an amazing speaker. An educated woman. I don't want to give any judgment on the person. Wonderful person. But I want to talk about what she said. Or to be more precise, one little thing that she said. She was giving a talk, and she said that before Yom Kippur, amongst the many needs of the Jewish people, there's many girls out there that are not married. And they would like to be married. They do not want to be single. And Baruch Hashem, they want to marry men. Jewish men, for that matter. So it's a wonderful thing we should daven for. Right, Bruce? Once upon a time, when a Jew married a Jew, we were very happy. Today we're happy if a man marries a woman. That's also an achievement. Correct? You can have a chuppah and kedusha, and you can say brachos. It's an achievement. And number two, they're Jewish. So, that being the case, As you know, there's a lot of an industry out there called zgulas. Does everyone know what zgulas are? Nobody knows what a zgula is? A zgula is to do some physical action in order for it to emanate into a result. So some people, be after Pesach, make a challah called a shlissel challah. It's a challah with a key in the middle, or today the modern version is to make a challah in the shape of a key. And this is supposed to be a zgula for parnasa, right? By the way, I have a much better zgula for parnasa. If anyone wants to know, at the end of the shir, I'll tell you. You can guess what it is already now. But quite frankly, Alex, very important. There's many zgulas out there. So listen to the following zgula that was out there. Said this woman, you can see her name here. It doesn't really make a difference what her name is. Sheva se'udot kineged sheva brachot. Zgula nedira miyuchedet lerevakim le'erev Yom Kippur. Said this amazing tzadeket of a woman to all these girls that are listening to her before Yom Kippur, that there's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. And the mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur, it's such a great mitzvah that if you want a zgula to get married, eat 7 meals with bread on Erev Yom Kippur. What does that mean? Wash 7 times, make a motzi 7 times, and bench 7 times, and then you will have a zgula that she promises will work. She says it in the name of my ancestor, Rav Yonatan Eibeshitz. I admit, I looked. I did not find it in his writings. She says in the name of the Mate, Moshe, Mate Aaron, that this is a trufa, Geneged Yetzer Hara. And this is what she said publicly. Bruce, do you know what my problem is with what she said? It worked, it doesn't work, I don't know, maybe it does work. Does anyone know what my problem's going to be with what this is said, what was said, what's on the screen right now?
It just sounds, it doesn't sound like
Let's leave out what it sounds like. Let's assume it's okay in terms of the Isurim of Nichush and all that. Let's assume. Bruce, is there a halachic issue with what she said? Let's take a half a minute. I want you to look at the screen and tell me. If you tell someone, wash, make a motzi, eat a little bit, bench, then wash again, then make a motzi again, then eat a little bit, then bench, then do it again, about 7 times on the same day within a few hours. Is there a problem with that?
Bracha levatala.
Who said bracha levatala?
I did.
Alex, you're close. Yeah. You're very close.
Uh-huh.
Bracha levatala means a bracha in vain. Here it's not a bracha in vain. You're making a bracha on netilas yadayim. You're making a bracha on a motzi. You hold the bread. That's not a bracha levatala.
Yeah.
But you're very close. Ah, Bruce got it. Say it. A bracha she'eina tzricha. What's a bracha she'eina tzricha? If you're about to eat 2 apples, so you make 1 birkat borei pri ha'etz, and you eat 2 apples, you don't make a borei pri ha'etz, borei nefashos, and then another borei pri ha'etz. Right? Now, there are exceptions to the rule. When there's a need, for example, if you need to eat shalashudas on a short Shabbos, you can wash, eat, bench, take a little break, and then wash, eat, bench again. But to do it 7 times seems like a bracha she'ena tzricha. Now the problem is that I believe that the person that said this didn't even know that there's an issue called bracha she'ena tzricha. She opened the book, she saw a zgula, she gave it to a few people, they said it worked, wonderful. But the person that's not attuned to halachic thinking doesn't think of this. Now why do I bring this story? This is in the past. Why do I bring this story up? Because when it comes to learning Torah, I believe that many people will go ahead and learn their heart's desire and see what it says, and then make mistakes in halacha, in Jewish observance, simply because they did not learn practical halacha. So it could be a wonderful thing to eat on Erev Yom Kippur, that's a virtue, and it could be a wonderful thing to make a lot of brachas. On the other hand, you have to balance that with a halacha called bracha she'ena tzricha. So I did a little test, Bruce. A few people posted this on Facebook. Last night, I wrote the three of them in a private message, and I said, hello, thank you for posting. Do you know what bracha she'eina tzricha is? And guess what the three of them wrote back? Take a wild guess. All three, I'm not kidding here. Be happy to show you the messages. All three don't know what that is. Don't know what that is. With this in mind, let's see the Drisha. Have you heard of the Drisha and the Prisha? Have you heard of the mother of the Drisha and the Prisha? Let's talk about the mother of the Drisha and the Prisha. Who's the mother of the Drisha and the Prisha?
I heard the preacher of the teacher of the Prisha.
The mother of the Drisha and the Prisha was named Bela, and she was a very smart woman. And she had a chiddush on lighting candles on Erev Yontif. She said, on Erev Shabbos, we machmir like the Bahag brought in the Ramah, that the minute you make the bracha, you accept it upon yourself Shabbos. So because you accept it upon yourself Shabbos, you can't light the candles. So what do women do? They light the candles prior to the bracha. But on Yontif, said Bela, the mother of the Drisha and the Prisha, there's no problem to light candles. You're allowed to light candles if you transfer fire. And therefore, you should make the bracha prior, like we do before we light Hanukkah candles, and like we do before we do almost any mitzvah. We make the bracha prior. That was her chiddush regarding lighting candles on Yontif. She had another chiddush, I'll leave it out for now. Many, many poskim said, despite the fact that she's a woman, and despite the fact that we have a challenge of women learning Torah Shabbal Peh, etc., she's right. She's right. We should do what she said. The Magen Avraham disagreed. He said a woman shouldn't get involved and butt out of Torah. A woman should only sew clothing and that's it. But most poskim said she's right. And if she's right, we got to do what she says. Right? Many hours out of curiosity. How many of your wives light candles on Erev Yontif like Bela said? Yeah. There you go. So, it indeed won the day. Okay, this was a very interesting woman. Now you know where the Drisha came from. The Drisha came from Bela, so he came from a very, very learned house. So the Drisha, when he talks about this issue, says the following. Yesh ba'alei batim nohagim limod b'chol yom gemara perush tosfot. Roshei tevot gefet. Okay? They learn, from our perspective, Gemara. They learn the Gemara, they learn Rashi, that's Perush, and they learn Tosfos, okay? Says the Drisha, they're making a mistake. Why? Because, as everybody here said at the end of Ein Kelokeinu this morning, Kol HaShoneh HaLachot B'chol Yom Uftach Lo Shehu Ben Olam Haba. Whoever goes over halachas every day, he's going to get Olam Haba. And they think and mistakenly that what's halachas? Halachas is learning Gemara. Bruce, you ever learn Gemara and understand exactly what you're supposed to do in the kitchen afterwards? You ever learn Maseches Shabbos or Eruvin and know exactly how to keep Shabbos? How do you know how to keep Shabbos or kosher? What do you do usually? You don't go to Maseches Eruvin. You don't go to Maseches Chulin. You don't go to Maseches Shabbos. Where do you go? Where do you go? You go to Shulchan Aruch. You go to one of the many, many books on keeping Shabbos, the kosher kitchen, etc., right? So says the Drisha, if you have a time that's limited, you should be learning Sifrei HaPoskim. Because first and foremost, beyond the element of gaining a lot of Torah knowledge, beyond the element of I'm finishing Masechta after Masechta, beyond the fact that you want to learn and be part of the Siyum of Daf Yomi, says the Drisha, a Jew's first priority should be living as a Jew. And living as a Jew means, how do I keep Shabbos and kosher and Taharat HaMishpacha and what bracha should I make before and after I eat? And then comes I should gain a lot of Torah knowledge, and I should finish Masechtas, and I should be part of the Daf Yomi, the Mishnah Yomi, the Dis Yomi, the Dat Yomi. But first and foremost, how to live as a Jew. So therefore, Kol Hashoneh Halachot B'chol Yom means, as Rashi explains, Halachot Psukot. Opening up a Shulchan Aruch, opening up one of these booklets. That's what should be your priority. And then, only afterwards, should you go into other things. So he says, and I quote, if you have 9 hours a day to learn, you have a Pnai Gadol, then you can learn Talmud, then you can learn Gemara. Aval Hanach Balei Batim. Listen to these words. By the way, if you're offended, take out the word balabatim and put in rabbis. Hanach balei batim she'einam lomdim ki in gimel odalit sha'ot lo yilmedu betalmud lechud. Does anyone want to translate those words? First of all, what do we learn from this about the Drisha's community? The balabatim, the people that work for a living. How many hours a day were they learning? Nebuch, they didn't have a lot of time. Alex, how many hours a day were they learning?
Not enough.
Well, what does it say? How many?
I don't know.
You don't know. Gimel or Dalit Sha'ot. What does that mean? 3 or 4 hours a day. I read these words. I was so embarrassed. Here I am. Giving classes, I have smicha. Can I say every day I learn 3 to 4 hours? In the time of the Drisha, the Balabatim, we're learning 3 or 4 hours. I felt so embarrassed by these words. If this is true, embarrassed, I am embarrassed. I have a lot to aspire to. And I'm talking about me. Maybe you guys are able to learn 3 to 4 hours a day. Number two, he says that's limited time. 9 hours, you can give yourself the benefit of learning Gemara. But if you only have 3 or 4 hours a day, says the Drisha, what should you be learning? Practical halacha. Because without it, you can't live as a Jew. The one that quotes the Drisha and takes it to the next step was the Chafetz Chaim. Have you heard of the Chafetz Chaim? The Mishnah Bura? Yeah, so the Chafetz Chaim writes in one of his many books that there's a few reasons why you have to learn practical halacha. He says Talmud Torah is comprised of learning anything from Torah, whether it's practical or not. But there's parts of Torah that are practical. Practical means it's noheg bazman hazeh. So if you learn kachim and taharot, it's about the Beis HaMikdash, that's not noheg bazman hazeh. But if you learn things like Hilchos Shabbos, Hilchos Brachos, Hilchos Yontif, Hilchos Tefillah, they are noheg bazman hazeh. And he gives a few reasons why. Number one, to know how to live as a Jew. If you don't learn Hilchos Kriyat Shema, he says, you're not going to do it right. Number one, Kegon B'dinei Kriyat Shema Likrota Bizmana. To know the right time to say Kriyat Shema. To know what are you supposed to do during Kriyat Shema. Put your hand over your eyes. Yes, no, Baruch Shem. Quietly, not quietly. Touch your tefillin, not touch your tefillin. Hold your tzitzis. How many tzitzis? Should you wear bichlal talis and tefillin when you say Kriyat Shema? Is it better to say Kriyat Shema bizmana without talis tefillin or versus saying it on time? Many, many, many questions come up regarding Kriyat Shema that if you don't know the basic halachas, you're not going to fulfill the mitzvah. Bruce, take another example, tefillin. Oh, it's so easy, tefillin. You wrap it on your hand, you wrap it on your head. You give the sofer to make it, everything's fine, right? Anyone want to tell me what can go wrong with tefillin once you get it back from the sofer? Anyone? Anyone? No? I pay 2,000 shekel for my tefillin. Thank you, Reb Sofer. I put it on for about 2 years. Can anything go wrong with the tefillin? Oh, number one, you drop them, the boxes are not square. Halacha number one, the boxes have to be square, at least to the naked eye. What else? Pardon? The Ritzu will have to be back, Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai, for example. Many times, they get scratched out. So many of us have in our tefillin bags that special stuff that you touch it up from time to time. How did you know the tefillin have to be square and from time to time look at the ritzuos to make sure they're black? How did you know that?
My friends told me.
Your friends told you. How did they know that? They learned it from Mesechet Menachot that deals with Hichos Tefillin, or they learned it from the small books? Obviously, from the small books, from the Shulchan Aruch. So the first reason why to learn practical halacha is to know how to live as a Jew, not to make mistakes. Because if thou, you can get your tefillin, it can be on for years, and they're puzzled. This week on Facebook, I saw a sofer said, a nebuch, a guy gave me his tefillin. This is what the ritzuos look like. He has not been fulfilling the mitzvah of tefillin for the last 2 years. He thought he was. He wasn't. Why? Because throughout the ritzuos, the black was coming out, so he didn't fulfill the mitzvah. A nebuch. Now, if he would have learned practical halacha, he wouldn't make that mistake. Can I give you another example? A very good example? Okay? This is a true example. I know a gentleman, a wonderful gentleman, that kavua, after Kedusha, sits down during Chazarat HaShatz and learns Daf Yomi with a Schottenstein Gemara. Can anyone tell me if he's doing something wrong? First of all, you're allowed to learn during Chazarat HaShatz. Rova Poskim say, absolutely forbidden. Number two, those that allow it say only if you can do two things at once. Learn, hear the end of each bracha, and say amen, and know what you're answering. Namely, Tzvi, if the Chazan says, Baruch Atah Hashem, drop dead, you lowlife, and you say amen, that means you can't learn during Chazarat HaShatz. But if you know he's saying Shover Oivim Umachnia Zedim, and you have in mind this politician, that politician, then you can learn during Chazarat HaShatz. This gentleman was so engrossed in Daf Yomi, he didn't answer Amen. He just didn't answer Amen. He's in shul. He's sitting down during Chazarat HaShatz. He's so engrossed in the Daf that he's not answering Amen. So I went up to him very calmly, not the same day, but 2 days later. I asked to see him for 5 minutes, and I said to him, you know, maybe you should rethink learning Daf Yomi during Chazarat HaShatz. And he thanked me, saying, I didn't know that you're not allowed to learn during Chazarat HaShatz. I didn't know that you have to answer Amen. Oh, you didn't know. Why didn't you know? Because you learned Daf Yomi, and you don't learn what? Practical halacha. If you would have learned practical halacha before Daf Yomi, then you would have learned when to learn Daf Yomi. And the time is not during Chazarat HaShatz. Number one. Number two, says the Chafetz Chaim, I'll give you another reason why you should learn practical halacha. Because today people travel. They're not home in a frat all the time. So when they travel, the problem is, which you don't know what's a halacha, what's a derabanan, what's a deraisa, and what's a minug. The bottom line is, people will say, keeping Shabbos is a minug yadut ba'alma. So you'll go to a place and you'll start saying, yeah, you know, Efrat, that's the minhag to keep Shabbos. But when you come to Hutzplatz, the minhag is not to keep Shabbos. So I won't keep Shabbos. If you learn practical halacha, you won't make that mistake. And number three, says the Chafetz Chaim, and this is very important, because we work for a living, we have to make concessions. But you have to know what concessions you're allowed to make and what you're not allowed to make. Some people will say, to look like everyone, says the Chafetz Chaim, you have to shave your payas. Shaving your pace is an Issa D'oraisa. But if they say to look like everyone, you have to shave with an electric razor, but you have to shave your face, albeit not your pace. Beard is important. Beard is nice. We love beards, but an Issa D'oraisa is not. An Issa D'rabbanan it is not. Maybe it's a minhag. That could be foregone. So you have to know when you can make concessions and when not. Suffice it to say, according to the Drisha, buttressed by the Chafetz Chaim, what is the most important thing to learn? Practical halacha. Before everything else, before Daf Yomi, Mishnah Yomi is practical halacha. That's the preference. Next. Have you heard of Rav Shneur Zalman Miladi? Rav Shneur Zalman Miladi, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, wrote a Shulchan Aruch called Shulchan Aruch Harav. I thank my dear friend Rev Moshe Trebish. He encouraged me to learn Shulchan Aruch HaRav because he's a Chabatnik And Chabadnikim celebrate birthdays. They don't celebrate birthdays just by having a cake and singing happy birthday to you in Hebrew or in English or in any other language. They accept upon themselves a Kabbalah. But they not only accept upon themselves a Kabbalah, they want to say, accept a Kabbalah upon you. Namely, Bruce, they call you up and they say, Bruce, it's my birthday. I want to make you a better Jew. So Rav Moshe wanted to make me a better Jew. So what did he tell me to do? If I can learn Shulchan Aruch Harav. And I accepted the challenge. And I opened up the Shulchan Aruch Harav to Hilchos Talmud Torah. And I gained a lot of chidushim, I should say, from it. He rearranges the entire Hilchos Talmud Torah into a normal order, because the Rambam's order is very problematic. And he deals with this question. He says, if your time is limited, this is what you should do every day. Number one, practical halacha with Agada and Tanakh. Do you understand that beautiful idea? Practical halacha, we explained. Why Agada? What's Agada? Agada means like a drasha, right? Like when you go to shul on Shabbos, you have a good sermon, correct? Right? Why is it so important to learn that every single day if your time is limited? Does anyone know? I'll tell you why. What are we, a bunch of monkeys? What are we, trained monkeys? Oh, put on tefillin like this, make sure it's black, put on in the head, make sure it's over here. Your Judaism would be primitive. You have to understand the ruach of Judaism, the spirit of Judaism. So therefore, a drasha, a good drasha, would give you that. It would give you meat. It would give you, if the meat, excuse me, is the halacha, the side dish is indeed that agada that makes the meat even more delicious. Correct? If you go to Papagayo, then you only get meat. But if you go to any other restaurant, they usually tell you the meal comes with a main dish and a carbohydrate and a vegetable, correct? So says the Shulchan Aruch Harav, your time is limited. The main dish, practical halacha. The side dish, agada, good drushas. It could be chasidus, it could be whatever, right? It could be the manual for sermons. And then, number three, Tanakh. Tanakh gives you what? The hashkafa of Judaism. The thinking of Judaism. The Nevi'im expressed how you're supposed to think as a Jew. So if halacha tells you how to act as a Jew, Tanakh gives you how to think as a Jew. And in between them, you have good drushas. That's his suggestion. And then he says, if you have a little more time, you should do this. If you have a little more time, you should do that. But suffice it to say, that's what he says. Number three. The Rambam, very much like Shulchan Aruch Harav, way before him, says exactly like that. He says, when you've already learned practical halacha and you know it, then every day you should read Torah Shebichtav, Torah Shebaal Peh, and then have time for Gemara. But until then, you should learn the basic practical halacha. So to sum up until now, the Drisha and the Chafetz Chaim says practical halacha. The Shulchan Aruch says practical halacha with good drushas and Tanakh in between. Number three, we've already said it, Tzvi said it for us, what Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said, and that is, you have more time than you think. Okay? If I can just buttress what you said, Tzvi, in the name of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. I don't know how many of you have to drive every day in a car. Okay? And I'm not going to deal with the halachic issue of Al Tirgizu Baderech. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? When Yosef told his brothers to go back to Israel to get their father, after he told them, I'm Yosef, he said, Al Tirgizu Baderech, with the simple pshat meaning, don't fight on the way. What's the additional level of interpretation of our sages? Does he remember, Bruce? What shouldn't you do on the way? I mentioned Chazarat Hashat, learning Daf Yomi. Now take that to the car. The stakes are even higher in the car. What's going to happen if you learn Daf Yomi in the car?
While you're driving?
Yeah, what's going to happen?
An accident.
Oh, you'll get into an accident for sure. Right? So we have today a safe way to learn Torah on the web. What's that called? Recordings. You can download recordings, and instead of listening to the news to hear how terrible the prime minister is or how wonderful he is, you can listen to the news, 5 minutes, not a problem. You should listen to the news. I encourage it. And then learn Torah. How do you learn Torah? Nothing too deep, because then you'll get into an accident. Something that you can drive safely and also listen safely to a Dvar Torah. Obviously, hands-free, obviously with a Bluetooth, but it's possible. So to say I have no time, I have to drive to work, drive home. What is what Yisrael Salanta said? You don't have time. You don't have a Seder Halimud of 5 hours, but you have plenty of 5 minutes all over the place, right? I forgot who it was. They asked the great rabbi, how did you finish Shas? He said, I finished Shas in 5 minutes. How did you finish Shas in 5 minutes? 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there, 5 minutes waiting for the doctor, 5 minutes in the car, 5 minutes up, 5 minutes down. That's how I finish Shas. So that's what Rabbi Sol Salanter, I believe, is saying. Namely, with due respect, you have more time than you think. So to sum up until now, the first suggestion is practical halacha. The second suggestion is practical halacha with a little philosophy and drushas. And the third suggestion is you got more time than you think. And you should use it. And I'd like to end the shiur with the following. You know, this shiur was a wonderful shiur. I tried to give 3 points of view of what to do if your time is limited and you have limited time to learn. But you know what I don't like about my shiur, Bruce? Is this really a halachic question? No, I'm serious. We saw not halachic decisive answers. We saw suggestions. And the reason we saw suggestions is because this is not so much a halachic issue, like how much matzah you're supposed to eat. As we started this year, there's a combination between the mitzvah of learning Torah and its objective needs versus the subjective needs of learning Torah. And therefore, I'd like to add something at the end. Everything we said was interesting, but at the end of the day, how do you end your silent Amida? How do you end your silent Amida? You say, Yehi ratzon milfanecha Hashem Elokeinu v'lokei avoteinu, right? Sheyibane beit hamikdash b'mheira v'yameinu, may the temple be rebuilt. What are the next 3 words we add? Translate. Tein tokeinu b'toratecha means?
May you make us a part of your Torah.
May you make us a part of your Torah. I like that. I actually like that. I think that's a whole shiur into itself. But I think you're mechavein to the Pnei Yehoshua. The Pnei Yehoshua brings a famous Zohar here on the screen that says, Yisrael, Israel, is a Rashi Tevot, Yesh Shishim Ribo Otiot LaTorah. There's how many Otiot in the Torah, how many letters in the Torah? Shishim Ribo. By golly, 600,000, that famous number, which is like another synonymous way of saying Israel in the written Torah. What does the Pnei Yehoshua say? He says, every single Jew, Kol Echad Mi Yisrael, has what? Yesh la neshama shelo mitzvah achat v'achizah be'ot achat. Every Jew has a letter in the Torah. What is he saying? Make us part of your Torah is God, what's my job within Torah? Because it's not like everyone can learn everything all the time. Yes, we all have to keep Shabbos and Kashrus and whatnot. But the bottom line is, there's a unique Chiddush that I can come up with that no one ever thought of. Me, Grunstein. And then Bruce. There's a Markowitz Chiddush that no one's going to come up with. And then Tzvi has a Chiddush in the Torah. Everyone has a letter in the Torah. What is it? What is it? Says Rav Nevinzal, chief rabbi of the old city, Rav Nevinzal. he says, or they've said in his name, Ten chelkeinu betoratecha, shetegale lanu, please reveal to us, the Jewish people, et achelek hamiyuchad lanu, batorah, shebo aleinu lehitmaked. What is the part of Torah I'm supposed to learn? I mean, you got so many mesechtas, you have so many books. What is the unique job for me? And we say this so many times in davening, but the bottom line is, in these three words, each and every one of us has a part of Torah that we can excel in, we can nechadesh in, we can do amazing things for the Jewish people in. What is it? He quotes the Gra that I quoted here on the screen that says when there was Nevi'im, they could tell us exactly, do this, don't do that. We don't have Nevi'im today. So what do we do instead? Says the Gra, today you don't have a Navi. So what are we supposed to do?
Call the rabbi.
Call the rabbi. No. Ukeshebatla nevua, says the Gra, haya ruach hakodesh be Yisrael veish rucho hu yodienu ech yitna lehitnaheg veruach hakodesh eshlechol adam veadam, to come to this conclusion. Namely, I just gave a whole shiur. What's the objective things you're supposed to learn if your time is limited? So you did your shtayim mikra vechatargum. You divided your day into three. That's very easy to do. Once that's finished, there's suggestions. But the bottom line is, you know better than me what you should be learning. What talks to you? Is it the Daf Yomi, the Mishnah Yomit? Is it a book about Machshava? Is it Tanakh? Says the Gra, you would know better than any rabbi. You would know better than any shir, any PowerPoint presentation. The bottom line is, you would know. How are you going to know? By davening for it. And therefore, three times a day at least, you end your davening by saying, okay, davening's over. Now I gotta go to my bookcase and decide, what am I gonna learn today? Now I gotta go to a website and decide, which shir am I gonna download to my phone to listen to in the car? Who's the best arbiter of deciding? You are. And allow me to end with the Gemara in Masechet Shabbos. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman, says Rav Nachman, Titi li, dikiyamti shalosh seudot b'shabbat. God should give me a long life. I ate three meals on Shabbos. Rav Yehuda says, I did iyun tefillah. Rav Huna Berei de Rav Yehoshua says, I never went for amos without a kippah. Let me ask you a question. Does anyone have a problem with this Gemara? Everyone says, oh, yeah, I should have a long life, because what? I was careful about this mitzvah or that mitzvah. You're not supposed to be careful about it? Only, what does this mean? Rav Nachman was careful about Shalosh Shudas, three meals on Shabbos. Does that mean he wasn't careful about davening? He went without a kippah? What does this Gemara mean? This Gemara means we all keep all the mitzvot, but there's a certain mitzvah that we are very connected to, that we are very much invested in. So if that's the case in mitzvot, all the more so in learning Torah. In order to combine between the mitzvah, the obligation of learning, and the vaharevna, the sweetness, you have to ask yourself, what do I connect to the most? What do I link to far more than anything else in my library? And that, gentlemen, is something we daven for three times a day. Ten chelkeinu b'toratecha. God, may I not waste my time, but make the proper decision on that. So to reiterate, there is objective needs when you learn Torah. Shtayim mikra ve'chad targum, dividing your day into three, or your week, or your life. But outside of that, there's suggestions, and they're all very good. Learn Musar, so you'll know you have more time. Learn practical halacha, so you know how to act as a Jew and not make stupid mistakes. Like, tell people, wash and bench seven times. learn halacha with a little agada, and you'll be able to think as a Jew as well as act as a Jew. But the bottom line is that after all is said and done, subjectively we daven, God, find my chelek in the Torah. And with that, gentlemen, I wish you all a very successful journey in finding that part of Torah that you're supposed to learn.